thank you so much for being here this evening, practicing together. Can everyone hear me well? So I was asked with a talk about working with challenges. And I soon realized it didn't take too long for me to realize I have lots that I could say. I've got some options in my life. And I kind of was smiling as I realized it, and smiling now, because I've just come to feel like challenges are so integral. So is joy and happiness. Lovely stuff, too. But more as I practice challenges or things that I perceive as challenges, they can really be opportunities, truly. And I've seen some real growth for me. And the other thing was, what is a challenge? So there's music playing outside. Maybe some of you noticed. was that a challenge? You don't have to raise your hand. Was it a challenge? Those sounds when we're here trying to meditate. Maybe what I'll say, and hope that if anything else, don't forget everything else, maybe you remember this, just that for me, meeting challenges with kindness and with wisdom is kind of what it's about. So, kindness and wisdom. So how do you do that? There are a few ways. One way actually is this feeling tone practice we just put together. It's quite powerful. It may seem, for those especially not too familiar with it may seem a little silly, simple, dull, I don't know. It is very simple, pleasant, unpleasant. I've come to see its power, truly powerful practice, part of it being its simplicity. So an example might be, I'm not sure if you've had this experience, but let's say you're meditating and you want to quiet your mind, you want a quiet mind, you don't want thoughts to be going on so much. Maybe you want insights, the most profound, juicy, liberatory, transformational insights. I do. Nothing wrong with wanting that. You might notice that experience of really wanting, really trying to get concentrated. First of all, it doesn't really work so well, just so you know. Desperately trying to get concentrated is not a supportive condition for concentration. What's this experience like? We might be so busy being upset about our being lost in thought, being so busy trying to get concentrated, we may not notice, how does it feel? How does it feel to be trying, bearing down, really trying to see reality clearly? You see my body right now, and it's like fists, and I'm leaning forward and hunched over. This is a little bit of how it feels for me. I'm really trying to get somewhere, meditation. If I'm there for that experience, I might notice that it is unpleasant. The idea of insights, it's very pleasant, concentration very pleasant, I like chasing is pleasant, but we're the experience of this chasing is this. We may not notice. So I've noticed for me, if I can catch this experience right now, how it actually feels is unpleasant, I might just stop doing that. If it feels like this, what's sort of a natural thing to do that maybe eventually sort of just stop contracting? Mm-hmm. I also thought of, because this is, it seems maybe like a very formal practice we do sitting, quietly and silently in a room, but it's very much a practice for daily life as well. Often life is flying by so fast, at least for me, especially in conversations with people, it can be tough to have much mindfulness at all. But sometimes I can be there just for the ouch, or for the, oh, I like this. Because it's simple. So that's why it's a really nice one for daily life, going to Trader Joe's or whatever it may be. So there's someone I live and work with, a friend of mine, and I've noticed the last month or two that whenever we talk about work, it's hard for me. It's kind of tense. And we have a relationship that's so it's difficult. Often when we interact around work, I'll be afraid that she might be frustrated at me. And just given my conditioning, this is difficult for me. Not comfortable, and I don't like this situation. So for me, this is a challenge. And in those interactions, interpersonal interactions, it really can be tough. It's been tough for me to really know my experience. Maybe a little too afraid to notice that I'm afraid right now. That kind of thing. So there have been moments where, amidst an interaction, I might just notice, tightness in my body, let's say, or heat in my chest. And that experience is unpleasant. That maybe catches my internal eye, so to speak. And it may seem really, really small. But in that moment, I went from being lost in seas of ideas about me, her, right, wrong, before, after, past, present, future, all this stuff, all of that in a moment just cut by this very simple, this is unpleasant. Just that. And it's like that, I have no problems anymore. It's not that, but just that moment, all of these streams of becoming and self, ideas of me and the other person, just in a moment, kind of cut away. And they can come back, they do. But that moment is a moment of freedom. All there was noticing it's unpleasant. It's also pleasant, thankfully. I thought of pizza and chocolate, but there are many, many ways, whatever does it for you. And I love to make the point when I talk about Buddhism, it's not about all about suffering. Suffering is stressed for various good reasons, but pleasant is okay. So, I'm a vegan, so not pizza and stuff. But anyway, chocolate, so I'll stick with chocolate. Delicious. I would like to just enjoy chocolate when I enjoy chocolate. When I eat chocolate, though, probably the second, depending on the size of the chocolate, maybe second or third bite, I'm thinking about the next bite. I'm kind of leaning a little bit toward the next chocolate itself. I am craving chocolate. Committed, and I'm not ashamed. It's not a terrible sin, but just to know, like, that's really the experience I'm having right now. I'm lost in craving chocolate rather than just tasting this really nice chocolate. I'm kind of missing out on the chocolate, actually. It's kind of that's a shame. So this kind of relationship, a bit of a pattern. If we like something, we may be drawn to it so much that we're craving, we want more. And actually takes us away from just being here. So next time I have a chocolate, I'm talking to myself right now, maybe I can just be aware of this is pleasant. And I might just keep me here another moment or two for this chocolate. That would be nice. Yes. So maybe this gives you somewhat of an idea. It's a very simple practice. Can keep us from being lost in craving. Being reactive, kind of lost in stories. Kind of cuts right to the root, just gets us right here in this moment in a very simple way. Pleasant and unpleasant are generally easier, that's why I illustrate them. Neither pleasant and unpleasant, also valid, true, can be harder to see just by its nature. We tend to notice what sucks or is awesome. So we use those. Why not? Anything that helps us be here. Skillful means. At the toward the end of the meditation, I kind of wanted just to hold up that one possibility of, what might it be like to just be here? Pleasant, unpleasant, neither. I'm not sure that was 30 of you, 30 different experiences, who knows, but I'm curious about that. Yeah, what is it like just to be alive, just to feel? I mean, is that pleasant? Is that middle, neutral? Is it unpleasant? For me, it's been nice to discover that it's not unpleasant to be alive. Like in a moment when I'm not going after something, trying to get away from something, I'm just being here in a very simple way, even just for a second or two of that. That's not unpleasant, actually. That's definitely neutral, maybe even a little pleasant. Sometimes pretty pleasant. Wow, just being here. And that kind of thing, we might notice more as a practice. And it can be quite powerful because that's a pleasant or contentedness or happiness, if you will. That's not so dependent on conditions being a certain way. And to a degree, it is in that our gathering, being quiet together, guided instruction, those are supportive conditions, it's true. But as we practice, we need less and less. It's been my experience to touch into this kind of simple, easeful truth that presence is nice, just being here. And is more reliable than chocolate. There's no chocolate at the store. And I don't know what I would do. Meditating. So my teacher, Gil Fronstall, once kind of summarized practice, or kind of a little cheeky, but as he can be, but kind of encapsulated practice as knowing ouch and knowing ah. And this is, again, very simple. I'm a fan of simple. It may seem too simple, but just try it. It's useful. It kind of is how practice guides us when we guide practice. You know, this feels good. I want not to crave or lean towards, but just, I would like more of this ease, let's say, peace, things we've experienced that are kind of good, and sometimes referred to as onward leading. Kind of like good, wholesome kind of pull toward. And then the feelings of contraction, smallness, fear, anxiety, they don't feel so good. It's good information. Good to know, not in an intellectual way, but in the body. Maybe if you notice it there in an embodied way. Yeah. And just to allow that to guide. So ouch and ah. I also kind of wanted to just put a shout out to really feeling when there is a challenge, and it's really hard for me lately, just to be able to say to myself, ow, this hurts. Something, these different words, but sometimes I'll hold my chest and belly, that's often where I feel things, and just hold it, and not to feel like I need to push it away. Really, can I just, this is challenging, this is hard, it's hard right now, and just hold it. Just for me, that's been pretty helpful. It's felt like deep practice. So kind of what I'm pointing to here is compassion. Yeah. Compassion with our challenges. They're coming and they're here, and we're not to try to avoid all the unpleasant. Yeah. But to meet what's true with compassion and holding ourselves. I think in this way, respecting ourselves, loving ourselves. is this word faith that may land, will land differently for different folks. Confidence also used. For me, as I've practiced, I've deepened in faith in practice. Faith that I can meet what's true. And I continue to turn away from what's true, ignore, try to run away from, still do that. But there's a deepening faith that, yeah, really the best thing for me would be to face what's true. And if it comes that I can't handle what's true, faith that I'll know that, and I'll trust. So in this way, mindfulness is just my partner. I had a retreat recently with Analio. The sati is the Pali word, and he repeats himself a lot in his retreats, just by design. So often he would say, sati, our best friend. And I really felt it after that long. At the end of the retreat, I wanted to name my first daughter Sati, actually. We'll see about that. I was really feeling it. But just the power of what supports us. I volunteer at the Dominican hospital in town each week. And as a spiritual care volunteer, part of the chaplain team, and I'll visit folks in the hospital in their beds and have conversations. And they range all kinds of conversations. And some are religious, some not at all, just all walks of life. So it's interesting to get a sense of what's common, what runs true for all of these people. And often the question I'll ask them is, what supports you when things are tough, challenges? Some of these people are in very challenging, very difficult situations. And so I'll just ask that question, what supports you? What keeps you going? And so I'm asking all of you here and now actually to can ask yourselves, what supports you? What keeps you going? For you. In the Zen tradition, the Soto Zen lineage, this a poem, a piece of writing, Genjo Koan, written first by Dogen, founder of Soto Zen, in the 12th century. And one line from it is goes something like, here is the path, here the way unfolds. And that has stuck with me in that it's so portable. It's really the essence of it. Here, this is the path. Right now, sitting in our seats, feeling exactly how you're feeling, knowing just what you're knowing. However you are right now, here, this is the path. And here the way unfolds, just like this. Challenges, joys, whatever it may be. We meet this very thing with kindness, compassion, care. And so let's just sit for a few minutes. Where the invitation is to bring the same mindfulness into walking, getting up, and anything else you might encounter. Same practice, just different posture. And we'll also be holding group practice discussions in the library or thereabouts. So if you've signed up or even if you haven't, it's good. Come and join us, talk about practice. And I might ask if someone's willing to just go around and ring the bell at 8:30. Thank you, Claude. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.